Okay, welcome to another episode of Bud Tender Podcast, where Bud Tender and customers learn how to use cannabis wisely. Today we have Asha Seaborn, who is a former nurse and now currently the owner of Nature's Entourage, as well as a senior health advocate. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing well, thank you. How's the weather in Vancouver?
It's a little warm, yeah. For sure. Yeah, definitely a little warm. Hopefully everyone's staying hydrated.
Good.
How's it out there in Kelowna?
It's a fairly nice day. It's not too warm. It's like 27 or something like that. I'm in Blind Bay, which is not that far away, but yeah, it's like an hour away. How can you let the audience know, like, okay, so you were originally a former nurse, yes, and then you decided to get into the cannabis industry. How did that journey begin? Can you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Sure. I was a nurse working mainly in gerontology medicine. So that's working with the elderly. And a lot of it was, while working with them, I wanted to find alternatives with helping them have preventative care. And a lot of the medications that they were on was causing adverse effects. Like, for example, I had a lot of patients on digoxin, which is a heart medication, but it would cause a lot of adverse effects where they would be lethargic, they would be unable to cope and had flat emotional states. And a lot of them started asking about cannabis because they wanted to do medical use of cannabis. And I wanted to research on how I could better understand it. And as I started to learn plant medicine, I started to realize that a lot of the medication that they were on caused a lot of blockages and it didn't allow them to heal properly. Whereas when they started using cannabis, they were able to regulate their body systems. And it's basically like homeopathic medicine. Like, it regulates everything within your internal structures. So that kind of led me to a journey of wanting to branch out and being better able to take care of others in a holistic approach. So that was where my first journey started with cannabis. And it's been very rewarding, to say at least.
Okay, excellent. And so that's what inspired you to start, mm-hmm, looking at more natural medicine. And then what was the transition point between, okay, I'm going to give up my nurse practice to creating your own business?
It started with my own health and my family's health. A lot of people in my family were getting older. They were diagnosed with diabetes and they just felt really helpless and didn't understand their own healthcare and how they could get away from chronic pain, glaucoma, things like that. And I started researching, researching cannabidiol first, CBD, and because a lot of them didn't want to have the adverse effects of THC. And as I started realizing that CBD, what it does is it interacts with your CB1 receptors, your brain neuroreceptors, and it helps to regulate what's already in your system to help to create a balance. And then combined with like a natural diet, healthy exercise, people were starting to feel better, like my own family and friends, over, you know, taking things like metformin and taking things like insulin dependency with the help of, you know, their family physicians, were starting to be more empowered with their own personal health care. So then looking at that, I wanted to reach out to more people because it just started to network, you know, it started to balloon from there, you know, friends of family started to approach me and all of a sudden I started having a huge response to wanting to know more. So it was a gradual growth from there, just really from starting to empower my family and friends to wanting to help other people in the community as well.
And do you feel that there's like a defining moment where you're like, okay, I'm done working as a nurse and I'm gonna, like, you know, take this leap of faith and start your business?
It was. There was about last year, you know, when we started to get a larger volume. It was getting to the point where practicing medicine wasn't really, you know, practicing nursing wasn't really the benefit anymore. I wasn't really reaching as many people and helping therapeutically as I was in my personal business on the side, working with cannabis and working with patients. So I decided to delve more deeply into cannabis and research. And so I also started studying naturopathy. So I've just enrolled in a naturopathy course to learn natural medicine as well, you know, and get my doctorate in there. Just to kind of broaden, because I feel that one of the things that we really lack these days is understanding self-care and understanding self-health and being empowered to knowing that we have preventative options to treating ourselves, you know, and cannabis really does open that avenue for self-help and self-care.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the things that I found really interesting when we talked a few weeks ago on the phone for the first time getting to know each other before the podcast was the fact that you worked a little bit with mental health and then dealing with the addiction to opioids. And then you kind of made a discovery from what I remember from our conversation. And can you talk a little bit about that and how cannabis is able to help with opioid addiction and then, you know, possibly completely get off dependency of opioids?
Absolutely. One of the early onsets that I was really reading was we've had a lot of issues with, you know, elderly post-surgery, you know, hip replacements, things like that, that got addicted to OxyContin or to Dilaudid, morphine, things like that. And then they were starting to slip downwards. Their health started to depreciate because what it does is the pain goes away, but it also blocks a lot of neural pathways with these medications. And we found that, you know, working with cannabis with some of our clients, what they do is they supplement cannabis slowly and they'll take it as in gel form or liquid form instead of smoking, and then helps to reduce their pain, but it also allows them to still feel movement and still work on, you know, range of motion therapy. Whereas when they were on morphine and Dilaudid or OxyContin, they were just flat. Like they weren't able to understand coordination. Their own movement started to go down. Their comprehension went down. Whereas cannabis still allowed them to retain all that and work with physiotherapy, work with chiropractic therapy as well. And they were much more successful and they were much more able to develop their health better, you know, as well as what happens with opioids is it stops the ability to understand where the pain is from new pain to old pain. So they were much more at risk for falls, for hurting themselves again, re-injury. Whereas when they were taking small microdoses of cannabis, what they were still able to understand, like they still felt pain a little bit, but that heaviness of pain was gone and they were still able to work and have a daily life and their value of life improved much more than it did with opioids. You know, and that was a big thing for us to see, especially with a lot of people that we're working with. So, but what we were talking about before with opioids and how they work and how they block, like they'll reduce the dopamine sensors and they'll reduce, you know, a lot of your glutamate and stuff like that. It blocks everything. So then your own body can't tell you, like your brain can't communicate properly to you that you are in pain, that you are suffering. Then it starts to depress your actual nervous system too. So then you don't really feel that pain to the point where you're like, okay, I'm okay. But then you get addicted to it because then when you're not on it, that pain comes back because you haven't done anything to heal the pain. All you've done is blocked it. So right. With cannabis, you're more likely to heal because you still have a little bit of inclination of pain. It doesn't completely take it away. It's not a miracle that way. And that's what it should be. It should not take away the pain. It should allow you to help you heal with ease. So I
okay,
found
it. Okay, awesome.
Yeah,
that's quite interesting. I mean, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, initially, I'm not against, like, if you're in a lot of pain, you just got in a car accident, like, Absolutely. Okay, yeah, like, take some sort of opioid, whatever that is, mm-hmm. and just so that person can be comfortable, and then let's introduce
Exactly.
You know, more natural things like cannabis or maybe something else. Mm-hmm. And this is a really good point that I think a lot of people, some people that are like really passionate about cannabis, they don't want to you know, use that opioid because it just has a negative aspect, but it's like kind of crucial if mm-hmm. someone's in so much pain, it's like you almost have to just seduce them for Absolutely. Like a day and then yeah. we can get some sort of opioid or some Absolutely. Sort of cannabis product.
Yeah. I absolutely agree. With opioids and like morphine and Dilaudid, if you're post-surgery, absolutely, you're going to be in pain, you're going to be suffering. You know, that is absolutely crucial that to take away because, you know, it's the value of life. But with cannabis, adding cannabis into it and easing yourself off of opioid dependency, what you do is you take back control. Because what cannabis allows you to do is it allows you to numb the pain a little bit. What it does is it stops the nerves from being super inflamed. You know, it's like, you know, fireworks in your body, right? Your brain's going, your nerves are going, your muscles are spasming. You're really in a lot of pain. But cannabis kind of regulates it. But you can still have range of motion and you can still start doing physical therapy because you're not in the sense of, you know, a flat effect. Your brain and your neurons are still firing because it's repairing. Whereas opioids, what they do is they block, you know, they block that pain receptor. They block the nervous receptor. So you feel that, you know, euphoria almost, but it doesn't heal you. And so starting a gradual therapy of reducing opioid dependency and increasing, you know, cannabis as a functioning way for a lot of people has been very beneficial. You know, the mortality rate has, since cannabis regulation in the last year, actually has increased, you know, and as well as in mental health, the suicide rate has actually gone down a little bit too since we've had legalization. It's only a year. These are preliminary numbers, but it's a benefit in that sense for us, you know.
Yeah, that's great. And that sort of brings me into the next sort of topic that we, you know, we talked about and realized we both have a similar passion about. And that is sort of the anxiety and depression part of that. And when you're dealing with your particular clients, how are you able to find the right cultivar or strain that's going to work best for your clients?
Well, with my clients, most of them are older. They're gerontology. It's their first forte really into understanding cannabis. So when they mm-hmm. when they're looking to me, they're looking for more, you know, they want a better standard of life. You know, they're in chronic pain, they have, you know, issues from chronic disease. So what they really want to do is they want to start to take back control of their life and they just don't know where to start. So what I usually recommend to them is to try to go with something like Charlotte's Web. Now, Charlotte's Web is one of my favorite strains to start with cannabis because it's a high CBD, low THC. But it's also been clinically used in studies for childhood epilepsy. And it's had dramatic, you know, benefits for them. So it's one of the more researched strains. So it's one of the more able to introduce early on. And what my clients do is they want to do microdosing. So they don't really necessarily want to, you know, be taking a lot of cannabis to start with, especially, you know, if they're new to it and there's a lot of stigma attached to them personally for doing it. But Charlotte's Web allows them to, you know, create CB1 receptors that start to balance out, you know, so it reduces their chronic pain. It also has a little bit of a sativa effect to it too. So it helps you feel more energized, and it also allows you to, you know, regain a little bit of an appetite, because a lot of the people lose their appetites when they're on heavy opioids or if they're on heavy antipsychotics or antidepressants, you know. And so for that one,
but just to interrupt you there, what's going on when that sort of thing is happening, can you give a little bit of an overlay of what exactly is going on to the brain and to the body when we're taking these other pharmaceutical drugs that might be a band-aid? You know, we're not knocking these things, but we're saying, okay, this is a band-aid solution for a short period of time, and then let's go on to some regimen that's going to work better.
Exactly. So when you're taking certain, you know, medical prescription drugs, what it does is it, like I've said, it creates a block for the receptors of pain, for effect. So, you know, people call it a flat line, right? Now, flatline basically means that everything goes this way. There's nothing that's going to be moving. You're not going to feel anything. You know, you're going to reduce it. But what that doesn't do is it doesn't repair. It doesn't go into your nervous system and your receptors that your brain already has. So we have an endocannabinoid system in our brain, and we have CB1 receptors, NMDA receptors, glutamate receptors, all these different neuron receptors in our brain that help regulate our body, and they help to function our organs, help our mental state, help our overall health. Now, opioids and a lot of prescription drugs don't treat that. Like, we always call it a band-aid on a dam. What they just do is they repair for the moment what is the surface level effects, but they don't go deeper. What cannabis does is it goes into your actual neurons and it starts to regulate them and repair them. So it starts to cause cell regeneration in the neuron level, right? So when your cells are starting to get repaired, you know, you start to heal. Whereas opioids don't do that. They will treat the effect of whatever is the preliminary symptom, but they won't go deeper into your actual body and start to regulate and repair what the damage is in there. You know, that's why a lot of people have turned to cannabis for cancer treatment, for diabetes treatments, mental health treatment, because it goes deeper into that level where it starts to repair your neuroreceptors and your brain chemistry to be better, you know, to start to feel better fully and holistically, like your whole body, mind, soul, everything.
Awesome. And like, every case is different, mm-hmm. but if this is someone that we're just going to say, we're going to make up scenario, and this particular person is new to cannabis, they have some back pain, some knee pain, they're of an older generation, and they're interested in, but they're scared because of the stigma. What are you going to try to ask them so that they're going and to introduce them, because you're like, okay, I think they're going to need a little bit of THC and they're going to need that higher amount of CBD. What mm-hmm. are you going to like walk them through to figure that out, to know how much they're going to use?
Absolutely. First, what you want to do is you want to have their full medical history if you can, as much as you can, because there is adverse effects of having certain amounts of THC with certain types of cardiac medication, right? So what you do is you start very low. I try to go for less than 3% THC, first of all, like because of that. You know, you want to introduce them gradually. So what I would do with them is I'd ask them if they were willing to do a microdose on 5 milligrams to 10 milligrams of just maybe CBD to start with, because then a lot of it is they don't want to feel the difference of, you know, the neuro difference, you know, like that THC effect, because they don't want to feel out of control, you know, that anxiety that comes with them. So I'll start them small, but I want to also know, like, what do they prefer? You know, do they prefer to have the pain gone? Do they want to, you know, still work and be able to function? Are they having chronic inflammation? You know, those are the kind of things that you want to really find out first, because if they're edemic and they're constantly having chronic inflammation, they need to keep moving. So you don't want to give them an indica based or a high THC, because then they're not going to be moving as well. So you start with something, maybe even like Jack Hairs, you know, you start it small, you know, you get them going to the point where they have a little bit more energy. They move around a little bit more, but then they're not inflamed. So on top of that, you know, you would tell them to start, you know, really working their circulation at the same time. You know, cannabis is great to reduce the pain, but keep them moving too, so that they have a better effect of life. So starting them like at 5 to 10 milligrams is a great way to start an adult, to just really start and feel, because they will feel the difference within a few days, just at that low
CBD.
With CBD for sure. Mm-hmm. But even if you wanted to have a full spectrum, keep it under 3% of THC if you can, to start with, you know, because you don't want the adverse effects if they're on heavy cardiac medication, that it, you know, creates an anxiety, because a lot of it is stigma attached too, you know, when they're starting out. But then there's others that, you know, they really just want to feel that euphoria of cannabis that they had when they were younger, but they're scared because, you know, all these strains, they don't understand the strains anymore. You know, you get a lot of those, you know, elderly clients too. So it's really just walking them through, letting them feel empowered, helping them do the research, and then starting them small. You know, you don't want to create that effect where they get scared or they get anxious when they first start out. So I think jack hair, yeah, it's good. Sorry.
Yeah, taking a little bit too much is not the funnest of. I know I have taken too much in the past, and it's like, okay.
We've all got those phone calls, you know, when someone goes, oh no, I'm having a little bit of an anxiety attack, you know, and it's a good way to calm them down. You have to, you know, you teach the same coping skills, you know, you breathe deeply, count 1, 2, 3, hold 1, 2, 3, out 1, 2, 3. Like, that's a great way to reduce anxiety, you know, that's associated with a lot of things, and people forget to just deeply breathe, you know, and that's a big thing.
Absolutely. Okay, so how is cannabis working within our organ system? What's going on with that? Why is it such a benefit for, I mean, obviously we're talking about the receptors, but what does that even mean when we're talking about organs?
Okay, so our body is made up, you know, of different systems. All these systems connect, they all talk to each other. So if you think of like a car, you know, you have your engine, you have your gas tank, you have your battery, you have all these little different things that correlation. If one thing doesn't work, the car doesn't work. It's the same way with our system. You know, if one thing in the root cause is not working, then the rest of the body is not working properly, right? So we often attribute symptoms as a cause it's not working, but like with how it works is it goes from our neurons all the way down to our extremities, right? Our CB receptors, which are in our body, our endocannabinoid system, what that is it's our regulatory body. It regulates hormones, it regulates emotion, it regulates, you know, our appetite, our well-being from the neuron level, our brain chemistry level. So with cannabis, that regulates that whole thing. What it does is it creates a balance, and it naturally allows your body to release endorphins, release the neurotransmitters, repair your dopamine, repair your glutamate to start creating a balance neurally. And then that works into the rest of the system. So when your neural balance works, then it goes into your vision system, your oculatory system. It reduces pressure between the eyes. For a lot of the people that have diabetes, they suffer from glaucoma. So what, you know, cannabis does is it helps to reduce that pressure behind your eyes so that you're not feeling that immense pain, that, you know, that blurred vision as much as you would. So then you work down to your lung and your respiratory. What it also does is it helps to relieve your bronchioles. It helps reduce the alveoli inflammation within you too. So that helps your lung system. For your muscles, it helps to relax. It reduces your nerve pathways so that you are, you know, for people that have Parkinson's, it really reduces their tremors. People with multiple MS, sorry, I talk a little fast. People with MS, it helps to also reduce the pain and the nerve pain with that too. So then that works into, you know, your musculoskeletal system. It helps to, you know, balance that out. It helps to calm your muscles down, calm your nerves down. It also helps, you know, when you use, say, a CBD or THC-based oil or body balm, it helps to repair your skin. It helps to, you know, create a barrier that helps to reduce infections and contact to bacteria, which, you know, it makes it heal that way too. And then you go into, you know, your circulatory system. What it also does is it helps reduce inflammation, so you're able to move more. You have people that suffer from chronic fibromyalgia, you know, taking cannabis, what that allows them to do is it stops that firing of pain that almost feels like, you know, your body's on fire. It helps to reduce that too, because it chronically reduces all the inflammation in your body, you know, and really regulates your system. It creates a balance. It brings you back to your healthy self as much as it can. So it works all the way from your head to your toes, you know, it really does. It really, and then, you know, for your emotions too, it helps to balance it out, but it doesn't create that, you know, that curtain effect. You know, the curtain effect is you know you have an emotion, but you just can't reach through and understand it. So you just flatline in your, you know, flat affect. But what cannabis does is it allows you to not be super emotional, but it does allow you to feel emotions still, but it also allows you to regulate your emotions and balance your mental health as well at the same time. So So
it absolutely. Is a wonderful thing. Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, this is the thing that I would always tell, you know, clients that are like, well, how can Canvas do all these wonderful things? The thing is, what we need to understand is that this endocannabinoid system, this receptor system, so throughout your whole entire body, and it's the biggest receptor system that we know of at the moment. Of course, maybe we might find something bigger, but at the moment, this is the biggest receptor system in our whole body. So this is why it works on so many different levels. Mm-hmm. So can we get into a little bit, because this is something that also that we talked about as well, was the dealing with lots of people with mental illness, whether that be PTSD, again, that anxiety, depression, and what's going on in the brain that this is able to stabilize these conditions.
Yeah, I'm actually really super excited about that. There's been a few new studies that came out with cannabis and mental health and really reducing effects of mental health, right? Especially from, you know, anxiety issues to bipolar. There's a new study on schizophrenia and cannabis and how it's helping. Mainly, a lot of the studies are also CBD based too, which is really, really interesting because a lot of people, you know, don't want to get the high, but what it does in what cannabis has always done is it always creates kind of a little bit of a euphoria effect, right? When you first take it for a lot of people. But when you go deeper down into the mental health actual aspect, what cannabis does is it regulates for a lot of people that are suffering from, say, schizophrenia, they have abnormally high dopamine levels. And what that does is it creates emotional imbalance. You know, people suffering from bipolar also, you know, disorder and anxiety, they have irregular levels of their neurotransmitters for a lot of them. What cannabis does is it reduces that negative levels and it brings it back to a balance, right? Neurologically speaking. So it creates that balance where you're able to start not feeling the mania as much as you would. You're not, you know, in emotional distress as much as you were. You're able to start processing feelings and working with a lot of, you know, behavior techniques and coping mechanisms. You're able to start to function in a better emotional balance. You know, you're able to start to work down your anxiety levels and start to be more empowered in figuring out how to balance your anxiety too, because it allows all those receptors to start balancing out. One of the greatest things that I found with working with cannabis and those that, you know, are suffering from anxiety, what it also does is it allows them to remove themselves from the moment that they're feeling anxious and take a step back and really evaluate what's going on, as instead of just treating with a symptom, say if they're taking Haldol, clorazepam, you know, Ativan, things like that. That's all it does is it blocks and inhibits your receptors. So you're never actually healing. You're never actually addressing the underlying issue, you know, with mental health. All you're doing is blocking and trying to function with a blockage. And so many people will not be consistent with their medication and will not want to do it because they feel like they're not really living. They're just existing. You know, what cannabis does is it allows you to still feel your emotions. You still know that you are going through an anxiety attack, but you're able to remove yourself from the physical symptoms to start to heal and understand it and find ways to cope and manage so that you reduce the amount of anxiety that you do have. You know, if someone's able to cope and bring themselves down without having to use pharmaceuticals and they can actually do it with their own self-care, then they feel more empowered to handle more situations. They feel more in control of what their health is and they don't feel that they are just stuck in a situation. And that's one of the biggest benefits that I've seen in cannabis with mental health is it's the ability to really take control of your mental health and bring in mental wellness more than, you know, mental illness.
Exactly. That's awesome. I love to hear it. I love to hear all those new studies and what's going on exactly with the brain. And you know, that is the, that's the, you know, that, like I said, that's the exciting new part that we're just starting to really understand what's going on there and how, we can actually continue to feel what's bothering us and move forward and feel better that way.
And one thing that we need to know is that cannabis studies are relatively new. They've only started to pop up in the last 10 years. Though cannabis has been around, you know, and used culturally for thousands of years by many, many religions, many, many people, we have had such a stigma on cannabis for so long that we didn't, these studies are relatively new, but they're all coming out. You know, University of London has actually released a huge mental health study, as well as the University of Harvard. Harvard, Dr. Spooner, the medical MD, actually also released a study about cannabis and how doctors should approach it. You know, it was a blog that he put up. Let me actually find his name because I think this is Peter Grinspoon, actually Dr. Peter Grinspoon of Harvard. He released this blog about talking about how cannabis can really help people and that we should change the stigma and physicians to start being more open to it. And that's a big thing, is people are afraid to talk to their doctors because they feel, if we talk to a doctor and I say I want to use medical cannabis, that's a stigma on me, you know. But it's starting to change. There's more and more studies coming out, more and more conclusive evidence is coming out, more people are starting to share their stories. And I think that empowering anyone to, if they really want to take this journey, take the journey. Ask the questions. There are people out there that will help. There are physicians out there that are actually open to it as well. So,
do you know any physicians personally that maybe people in British Columbia would be able to reach out to?
Well, there's the MAPS Society as well. You know, they've been really good. It's headed by Dr. Mark Hayden in the multidisciplinary of psychedelics, and he works with a lot of different plant-based medicines. Dr. Sean Townsend out here is very good too. He's one of those people that is a great wealth of knowledge. He's on a lot of social media platforms, so he's really good to talk to as well and try to, you know, find those physicians. There's a lot of naturopathy clinics out here with actual, you know, certified doctors. You have to go through a degree program. And most doctors are starting to be open with it. You will start to see, you know, if one doctor says he's not into it, go to another one, find another one. You know, we have a wealth of physicians out here. We are a very liberal country that has, you know, a lot of benefits.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, yeah, the more that, you know, the fact that recreational here in Canada is legalized, the more doctors that are seem to be more open about it that would never touch it with a 10-foot pole. I can recall different times where, because I'm in a small town and people would tell us, like, you know, Dr. Smith is not very, like, will not talk to me about cannabis. And then 6 months later, we're getting a phone call from that particular doctor, you know, asking questions. This is exciting.
Yeah. Well, also, like, don't forget, for a long time, you know, this was considered a gateway drug for and medically speaking, in the profession, they were told that cannabis is not used for anything other than appetite. You know, it's going to create, you know, lack of motivation. It's going to create, you know, a doorway to other harsher drugs and all this propaganda was behind it. So physicians really were afraid to lose their medical license to actually support cannabis. Now with legalization, they're much more open. You know, physicians also have to worry about if they have a certain amount of complaints and someone's complains on them, they can be in jeopardy, you know, for malpractice, malfeasance, things like that. But now that, you know, the studies are coming out and there's a much more liberal viewpoint towards it, they're much more open as well. Many are starting to be more open.
That's great. That's awesome. And so can you tell us about what your company does and yeah, what are, like, if people want to come to your website, first of all, what is your website? And then tell us a little bit about what your company does. There we go.
Sure. My website is www.naturesentourage.ca. We're a Canadian-based, Vancouver-based natural holistic wellness company that uses cannabidiol, so CBD, the non-THC form, into holistic therapeutic products. So we make bath bombs, body bombs, lip balms, and then we also make tinctures and pain relief rollers, and we've developed capsules, holistic health capsules. So what our biggest goal is that we want to help people be more empowered with their own self-care. So we wanted to introduce preventative CBD-based products that were natural that would help, you know, with multi-level ailments. And it's a personal passion project of mine because it's personally bringing all my wealth and knowledge of holistic treatment and my family's past history of herbal medicine, being that I'm Indian and my family, my grandmother was a healer as well back in the day. So we're bringing all that together and making products that help people with anything from eczema to diabetes to Parkinson's to fibromyalgia, MS. You know, we have a vast range of clients that come to us, and we work with them personally as well to customize care plans for them for holistic treatment. So that's it's a huge passion project for me. We also have a charity part as well. So we do a lot of charity events. We do catering for charity events based on, you know, cannabis community, anything for senior advocacy, foster care, animal care. So we do a lot of charity-based programs too, because that's another thing that we are really passionate about, is giving back to our community as much as we can. So yeah, that's Nature's Entourage right there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And do you mind, you mentioned pets. So yeah, what are you helping with? Like, how is it possible that a pet could benefit from cannabis CBD particular products?
It's very, very new, but there has been studies that have come out with, you know, for people that are dealing with pets that, you know, have chronic pain, have poor circulation, poor dietary, constantly lethargic, you know. We've introduced a small microdosing CBD product that we are patenting right now. It's not on for sale yet. We're still finishing the preliminary patenting of it. But what it does is it helps, like, it's a CBD tincture that we make that you can put into your pets, you know, wet-based food, raw food, or into their treats. And it helps to create a balance for them, just to create a healthy animal. Also, we make serums for their coats and natural washes to reduce chemicals and buildups and stuff like that, which will block their skin and basically create problems of lesions, scar tissues, things like that. So we're ranking a variety of basically a large range of products for that are natural for animals. Because animals also benefit a lot from CBD. It's naturally occurring in their systems too. They're able to absorb it better than actually humans are. And it really reduces, you know, things like tumors and the occurrence of tumors, of gastrointestinal issues, you know, of fur balls, things like that too. So we're working on all of that. Right now, our pets are the biggest guinea pigs on it, and it's really helped. You know, I have two Maine Coon tabbies and a large Black Russian terrier, so he's a big dog, you know, and he's very sensitive. His stomach's very sensitive, so we have to be very careful of what we feed him. And since we introduced CBD, he's had less gastrointestinal issues. He's, you know, he's able to run around. He's had less problems with joint growth and stuff like that, and bone density. So that's a big thing, is we want our pets to live as long as we can and as healthy as we can. So hence why CBD is coming into play with them too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I can't tell you how many times people have come into the store that I used to operate, and they weren't interested in themselves at all. They were just interested in their pets. And
absolutely,
the difference that we saw from our clients telling us about it was incredible. And like you said, they react to it so much faster than we do, and they heal
absolutely
so much faster. So that's really incredible.
Yeah.
So can we talk a little bit about like how people can start incorporating cannabis or CBD into their daily routine so that it's like the easiest way for them?
Okay. It depends on what they really want to do, but a lot of my personal clients and customers, what they want is a lot of them have trouble sleeping. So they're looking for, you know, the ability to sleep. So they'll take microdoses of our capsules that we make, which is extracts, and they'll take it for night for sleeping, for aids like that. But, give me a second here. But the biggest thing is when they're introducing it into their daily life, you want to know what they first really need it for. You know, some people want it for sleep. Some people want it for anxiety issues like that. So if you're looking for anxiety relief, then you really want to be either taking inhaling it or taking an edible, you know, with a little bit of THC in it. So, you know, you find out what they want. So for anyone for anxiety, I would say start small, start with 5 to 10 milligrams. Or start small with taking a low dose of THC, higher dose of CBD, raw product, right? Raw cannabis product. If you're looking for sleep, you know, go for an indica strain, maybe also take it as an extract, you know, but learn the dosage, start small, give yourself time. Don't get too anxious about it. You know, cannabis has been around for a long time. You know, starting small will help them really get to that point where they can understand it better too. And experiment a little bit. You know, it is not a stigma. It's not going to be, you know, the more we get anxious over it, the harder it is for us to understand it. So first learn about it, learn what you want, talk to your local, you know, if you want to talk to your physician, talk to your physician. If you want to talk to the local bud tender, go to your, you know, micro producers, go to your, you know, your stores and talk to someone and really understand it more before you start going and start small.
Exactly. It's building that trust with the product. And I mean, we have to understand that this like we said in the beginning, that this product's been around for thousands and thousands of years. It's been our companion plant from as long as we can have recorded history. And the single fact is that we've never seen an overdose of cannabis before, unless it was synthetic. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a really, really safe plant. And when it's utilized correctly, you're not going to have, you're going to feel you might feel uncomfortable by taking too much, but you're never actually going to die because it doesn't. Let's talk about that. Difference between opioids and cannabis, correct me if I'm wrong, but it doesn't prevent the respiratory system to shut down. What's going on there?
So you know, respiratory depression is a very common thing with things like morphine and Dilaudid and things like that. So when you're in hospital care and you're on morphine, we have to constantly check your oxygen saturation, your respiratory levels, and your heart rate, right? Because what it does is it brings you down to a level where your neural receptors are not really responding anymore, right? So you can go into basically a coma, a drug-induced coma, or you can die, right? People have often died in their sleep from taking too much or things like that. So that's what happens when you're on heavy opioids or any pharmaceutical that's a heavy painkiller, right? A narcotic, basically. It basically stops your respiratory system. It stops your synapses from firing properly because it just kind of makes it calm everything down, right? It will only utilize your organ systems for the basic functions. The rest of you it will all go towards pain management. Whereas cannabis, what it does is it regulates everything within you, right? It doesn't actually depress any of your systems. It just stops them from being inflamed, you know. So that's the difference with cannabis. It doesn't actually create your neuroreceptors to start stopping and then start to not be affected and not communicating. What it does is it does the opposite. It allows your neuroreceptors to be working, to regulate, but it also what it does is it helps to allow you to feel, whereas opioids tells you to stop feeling, you know. That's the biggest difference, stop and go kind of thing.
That's awesome to really get to understand what's going on there, because that's really important for people to know that that's the reason that, you know, yes, you can feel really uncomfortable by taking too much cannabis, but you can't actually overdose because it doesn't stop.
And you're feeling it. Yeah, you're feeling what's happening is you're feeling it, right? That's the difference. Whereas when you're taking opioids or narcotics, you're not feeling. You are starting to get lethargic. You are starting to get, you know, head high and all these things. Your breathing starts to get shallow, right? Whereas if you're having a little bit of a too much of cannabis and you're getting anxiety, you're breathing faster. You're not breathing shallow. You're breathing faster. So it's really about calming yourself down, because all it is it's all of your systems are going, you know, it's not depressing your systems. It's making you go a little bit too much. But so that's the difference, you know, an anxiety attack from taking too much cannabis really is it's mental more than it's physical. Whereas an opioid, taking too much opioid, is physical. You don't even know that mentally you are starting to internally shut down. There's a huge difference on that one.
Awesome. Okay. That's really interesting. And then, I mean, when we were talking about this as well, you were also talking about, you know, obviously a majority of your clients are seniors. How are they responding to the fact that they're, you know, getting off their medication? What are they getting excited about?
A lot of them are just getting excited about being able to move, really move, you know, being able to. One of the greatest things that one of my clients said to me was, I got to pick up my kid. I got to pick up my grandkid, you know, and she was super excited about that, because her pain from osteoporosis was so bad that she wasn't able to do the simple thing of just picking up her grandchild without being in sheer pain. And since she's been on, you know, taking our CBD tinctures and capsules, she's able to reduce that osteoporosis pain. Her joints are starting to move more. Her bone density is actually improved too, because what we do is, for her personally, I combined it with her pills and tinctures are combined with spirulina, holy basil, and yellow dock I put in hers. With those, it reduces her inflammation. Combined with the cannabis, it creates that better wellness faster than she would have had it just plain cannabis. So I created a path for her to really get her body to just not be inflamed as much as it was, you know. And that's what I've really heard, is everyone's feeling that their quality of life has improved. You know, they're able to do more. They're not as irritable because they're in pain constantly. Their relationships are improving. You know, their health, they feel empowered by their health. They don't feel that they're just ticking away. They feel that they have much more in life, and now they feel that they have much more that they can do in life. And that's a huge, huge benefit for me. You know, finding out that someone's had a new lease on life is just incredible. You know, that's all I want. Yeah,
that's great. And is there one thing that you know that you want to like leave our audience with, to really drive it at home, that, you know, gives the audience power when they're looking at different cannabis options?
Ask questions and really, really ask questions, and don't settle for someone saying, I don't know, or I don't. Ask someone else. Keep asking. If this is something you want to go into and you feel this is a benefit for you, and honestly, it's been a benefit for everyone that I've, you know, my clients, myself, my family, my friends, it is amazing to be able to take control of your health, to take control of your well-being, and to have a new lease on life. So ask questions, find out what you want, and feel empowered. Go for it. You know, go for whatever you really want to do. You know, that's all I can say. And I'm always here. My website's here. My email can be, if you have to ask questions, you can ask me questions. I don't mind. You know, if you guys want a referral for certain areas, for sure, I'm always there too. This cannabis community is very open about talking and sharing. And there's a lot of people out there, especially yourself. You know, we've met a lot of people between mutually as well, that are out there trying to help and really help people. So go ahead and ask questions and get out there. Don't be afraid to do it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the biggest thing is like not having that fear and letting go of things that you used to think about cannabis, you know, throughout prohibition and whatnot, because that was, you know, majority of that was just BS and it was false information. So but now that the fact.
Absolutely. I agree. Yeah.
We're hearing the, you know, that this has been something that has been this plant has been a friend of ours for, you know, a long time. And I think this is, as we move forward, is to really gain that relationship back with the cannabis plant, whether that's just using CBD or if you're, you know, if you need that THC and of course the terpenes and everything else and all the other cannabinoids that we're coming out with research.
Yeah. There's so much out there. Yeah. It's just educate yourself. Don't let others educate you. You know, feel empowered by educating yourself and really, honestly, experiment. This is the reason why it's legal is because we have determined that this is useful. You know, this is beneficial for us. That's why it has been legalized. You know, that's why the stigma is, that's why so many people are trying to reduce the stigma. You know, so empower yourself and educate yourself and really definitely go for it if you really want to.
Awesome. Okay, thank you. What can you let us know what your website is and how we can contact you?
Sure. My website again is www.naturesentourage.ca, where you can email me, ashaseaborn@naturesentourage.ca. My information's on the website as well. We're all there to assist. And then we also have social media. We're on Instagram, Nature's Entourage, Facebook as well. So come on over. You know, if you want to just shoot a question, please feel free to email me. If you guys are looking at our products, please buy them. You know, but yeah, we're always around and there's a huge community out here and, you know, we'll be at a community event in Vancouver on September 15th with Plant Tigress, the Cosmic Sister fundraiser. So we should be there, you know, come by and say hi if you're in Vancouver.
Awesome. Thanks so much. And is there anything else you want to leave the audience?
I think all I can say to the audience is thank you guys for taking the time out to listen to us. I appreciate that. And thank you, Chris, as well, for allowing me to be part of this. And I hope that everyone understands that cannabis is not an enemy. It's not this big bad thing. It is a ability to open a door to a new lease on life, if you choose to.
Perfect. Thanks so much. And I hope you guys have a wonderful day. And if you guys think that it's an interest, please share this podcast. And we'll have all the links down for you below. And I hope you guys have a wonderful day. This has been the Bud Tender Podcast. Thanks, guys.